This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And it's very common that people equate power with prosperity. Country's powerful, it's supposed to be prosperous and making progress for all its citizens. So what do you say about Iran? Iran is, according to most analysts on the world scene, been rising as a regional power in the Middle East. And yet, the Iranian people are in miserable shape, in fact, such miserable shape that they have an election coming up, and there apparently is going to be, everyone is predicting, record low turnout. So what does that mean for the future with Iran and the United States and the nuclear deal? And what does it mean for the Middle East and the future of the Middle East and maybe a more peaceful, prosperous, and progressive, not in the left-right sense, but making progress, a future for the whole region now that there's a change of government for the first time in 12 years in the nation of Israel, where it's been a fairly rowdy process installing the new government with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. To talk about all of this, a previous guest on this show and a leading world-renowned expert on the politics and diplomacy in the Middle East, Daniel Bynum is a professor at Georgetown University, and he is also serving as a staff member with the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks on the United States and the Joint 9/11 Inquiry Staff of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Daniel Bynum, it's great to speak to you again. Your piece recently in the Wall Street Journal is about the legacy of Khobar Towers. And people are here thinking about, what's Khobar Towers? That's before the Twin Towers. What happened?
So in 1996, there was a massive truck bomb at a U.S. military facility in Saudi Arabia. And initially, there was a little confusion as to who was responsible. One of the early suspects, in fact, were some of the al-Qaeda-type terrorists, these people who had been in Afghanistan. But over time, it became clear that this was a cell organized by the Iranian government and that they had launched this attack and were responsible for it. But in the end, not much was done about this attack. There was a hope at the time that Iran's government might be changing for the better, and no one wanted to derail that. And the Saudis in particular were dragging their feet on the investigation because they were concerned that if there was a back and forth between the United States and Iran, that they would be caught in the crossfire.
Okay, at the time, 1996, we're talking about a quarter century ago, Iran had was still recovering from the Iran-Iraq war where they lost hundreds of thousands of people. And they have become, by most accounts, most estimates, a more powerful nation since that time. How is that?
Iran's become more powerful, but that's largely because of the weakness of much of the region. So Iraq was a longstanding threat to Iran, but after the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq and toppling of Saddam Hussein's regime, and the collapse of Iraq in the civil war, that threat diminished. Throughout the Middle East, we've seen countries, you know, in very different parts, in Syria, in Yemen, and elsewhere, also collapse into civil war, and in other places, the governments are weak. And I wouldn't say Iran has gotten stronger in an absolute sense, but it's been able to exploit a lot of this weakness and establish a presence in different countries, establish ties to lots of local groups and at times governments, and all that has greatly increased its influence.
Concerning Saudi Arabia, I mean, right now there does seem to be more of an effort by the Saudis to create some kind of regional counterweight to Iran. Is that working?
Yes and no. So the Saudis, working closely with the United Arab Emirates, have really been trying to push back against the Iranians, and they've intervened in Yemen. They've tried to counteract Iranian influence in Syria and Lebanon with a lot, with little success. And the United Arab Emirates even reached a peace deal with Israel, in part because both shared a very strong sense that Iran was an enemy and they needed to work together. So there is some coalition that the Saudis, among others, have been able to forge. But all that said, the Iranians have had an advantage in that the Saudis have been trying to shore up usually weak governments, and where they've been contested, as in Yemen, as in Syria, it's usually the Iranians that have emerged with a stronger position.
Yeah, concerning Khobar Towers, it is remarkable because you go back and you look, there are 2,000 U.S. military personnel who were living in that building complex. 19 of them died, and 500 were wounded. It's 19 American servicemen dead. What has the United States done in terms of compensation of any kind or reprisal of any kind for Khobar?
So the answer is really not much. So after Khobar, there was this uncertainty as to who was responsible, and that was really part of how Iran works. They often work with local groups and are able to cloud responsibility and thus avoid immediate reprisal. And as time goes on, some of the political will for response diminishes. As time goes on, there were political changes going on in Iran, and there was a genuine reformer who was elected, and there was real hope that the country might change. And so then there was the question also of simply what should be done. Would bombing Iran actually accomplish anything? And would there be an even worse back and forth? So over time, the U.S. has put a lot of economic pressure on Iran. Some of it's about its nuclear program, but some of it is also about its support for terrorism. That's actually had a big impact in terms of hurting Iran, and especially ordinary Iranians. But it hasn't dramatically changed Iran's behavior in terms of supporting these types of groups.
What about this Iranian election coming up? A lot of people are saying that because the economic situation is so terrible, because there's no real hope of getting rid of the mullahs and the theocracy that applies there, they're going to have record low turnout. Is that your guess as well?
That's my guess. Iranian elections have at times surprised me, certainly in the past, so I don't want to be too certain. But the current system weeded out any candidates who were likely to be a true challenge, and the general consensus is that it's likely to be a pretty conservative figure who's elected in the end. And not surprisingly, ordinary Iranians are rather cynical about the whole process. They know that the election has been largely rigged to avoid a true choice, and that they're not going to see dramatic change. So no one's looking at this election and anticipating that it's going to dramatically change Iranian behavior. And the fact it may even make Iran more conservative and more opposed to necessary reforms.
Okay, we're going to be right back for a few minutes more with the world-renowned professor at the Foreign Service School of Georgetown University, Daniel Biman. He is the author of an important piece in the Wall Street Journal called The Deadly Legacy of Khobar Towers. What about the Biden administration's handling of the entire matter of the nuclear agreement with Iran, which President Biden wants to revive? And how will that strike the new administration in Israel? People probably saw over the weekend some of the ruckus at the Knesset, at the Israeli parliament, with the installation of a new prime minister for the first time in 12 years, Bibi. Prime Minister Netanyahu promises to leave the opposition and to make a comeback. We will talk about that as well and more coming up on the MedVed Show with Professor Daniel Biman.
MedVed.
In my opinion, he's the most powerful man in the world.
This is the Michael MedVed Show.
Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, back with Professor Daniel Byman, who is with the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University, and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He is the author of Deadly Connections, States That Sponsor Terrorism, and most recently, Road Warriors, Foreign Fighters in the Armies of Jihad. Daniel, right now, the Biden administration seems committed to try to have the United States rejoin the joint nuclear agreement with Iran. Do you think that that will help stabilize the region, make conflict, regional conflict, less likely?
I'm in favor of trying to renegotiate and have a nuclear agreement with Iran. Iran with a nuclear weapon is an extremely scary thought, and I think that this deal would reduce that danger. Having said that, I don't think it's going to change Iran's destabilizing behavior throughout much of the Middle East. The Obama administration in the past, and I think the Biden administration today, are almost trying to bracket the nuclear question, where they're thinking of it as, if we can get rid of this grave threat, that's a positive, and then we'll try to deal with the rest of the stuff. But Iran is going to be active in neighboring Iraq, in countries like Yemen, and Syria and Lebanon, and in general trying to spread its influence. And it has its own reasons, economic ones, for wanting to end the sanctions, and thus is willing to consider sacrificing its nuclear program. But that doesn't mean it's going to change its entire foreign policy, unfortunately.
Does that mean, in your opinion, that some kind of military conflict, major conflict involving either Iran and a number of its rival states, including the Sunni Arab states, Saudi Arabia and the Emirates and the rest, or is there a way that diplomacy can contain that drift toward confrontation?
You used the right word, which is contain. So my hope would be that through diplomacy, you would not see expansions of conflict. But Iran supports an array of proxies throughout the Muslim world, and other countries are supporting proxies to fight the Iranian proxies. And that back and forth is likely to continue, not go away. But the hope would be, you know, with Yemen being one example, that both sides might pull back a bit, which would not solve the crises in these countries, but it would at least reduce some of the ferocity of the violence and some of the risk of even more escalation. So we're not going to see the region's problem solved or necessarily even greatly reduced due to successful diplomacy, but at the very least, we can hope they won't get worse.
Okay, the words are rumors, at least in Washington, that Secretary of State Antony Blinken and President Biden are gratified to see the installation of the new Naftali Bennett prime ministership, the new government from a very unlikely coalition taking power in Israel. Is there more of a chance of Israeli-American cooperation regarding Iran with the new government taking over?
So the U.S.-Israel relationship, as I'm sure everyone knows, has always been very close. But what Netanyahu did that was very upsetting to Democratic political leaders in the United States was that he politicized the relationship. So he openly criticized President Obama. He was associated himself with the Republican Party, and especially President Trump, and not surprisingly, this alienated many Democratic lawmakers. So the hope would be that with a new government, even one like Bennett's, who is very conservative, that he would be less likely to play politics in the United States. However, the nuclear deal is incredibly unpopular in Israel, and Bennett opposes it, and most politicians in Israel are likely to do so as well. Will they actively try to undermine it politically, as Netanyahu did? I would be surprised. That was something that was very controversial in Israel, and I think Bennett will have other priorities and want to have a good relationship with the Biden administration. And there's a lot that can be done to counter Iran's other activities, subversion, the support for proxies. That could be intelligence cooperation, that could be diplomacy, that could be other forms of pressure. And there, I think we'll see a lot of cooperation with the new government.
Okay, right now, the big question that everybody seems to have in Israel is how long the coalition can last with everything from Yamina, which is a party that literally means to the right, and that being the party of the prime minister, and they're together with an Islamist Ra'am Arab party in Israel. It's the most unlikely coalition. Can it last?
The smart money seems to be saying no, but the question to me is really how long can it last? I think part of the calculation of the leaders in the coalition is that Netanyahu has been so dominant that they need a period where he's no longer in charge, where the corruption trials against him can go forward, and that they hope that his star will be dimmed by all this. And then when the coalition does collapse, whether it's 6 months from now or a year and a half from now, that they will be in a better position relative to Netanyahu, and he will no longer be this dominant figure. And, of course, almost everyone in the coalition is scheming to make sure that they're the ones that benefit from it, which is part of the reason the coalition will have such trouble working together. But I do think there's a common interest in the short term for the various groups to show that they can make it work. But it'll be hard, given the wide array of parties in it, for it to endure.
Okay, and you talk about the wide array of political parties. Are there some lessons for the United States in our political system? A lot of people believe that American politics is fundamentally broken. We have a two-party system. In Israel, they have about a 20-party system, and it's been very problematic. Can Americans take some reassurance, maybe about our own system of government, looking at some of the problems in that wild and woolly Knesset system, a multi-party system they have in Israel?
Certainly. Israel's system is almost proportional representation to the most extreme possibility. And it enables fragmentation in a way that's really unhealthy for getting things done in a democracy. And so the U.S. system, which, you know, I think we've all seen in the last 5 years, has many problems. Nevertheless, comes off looking much more stable and much more able to govern than the Israeli system.
That's Daniel Byman. In terms of the likely next president of Iran, you want to offer a prediction for one of these winners?
So the current thinking is that a man named Ibrahim Raisi is the likely winner. He has strong conservative credentials. He has the blessing of
supposed to be a hardliner.
Exactly. He's supposed to be a hardliner. Again, Iran has had some surprising results in elections. What they tend to have done in the past is not necessarily control the election result per se, but rather control who gets to run and make sure that whoever wins is acceptable to the rather conservative clerical establishment.
And that's a system no one can admire, but you can admire the work of Professor Daniel Byman. Thanks for joining us. We will be right back.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in Geneva ahead of his big summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday. Biden and Putin have met before, but tomorrow's summit will be his first sit-down with the Russian leader as president. Biden walking back some of his tough comments regarding Putin on Monday as far as how he believes President Biden needs to approach this meeting. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul says,
"You know, I think we're approaching a time period that's not too dissimilar than the Cold War. In the Cold War, you know, Russia, the Soviet Union, had all kinds of human rights abuses. We objected to it. We spoke out against it. And yet Reagan did at some point sit down with Gorbachev and talk about nuclear arms control."
Attorney General Merrick Garland is unveiling the government's first ever strategy to combat domestic terrorism, although no specific threats of domestic terrorism have been named. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
The war on cops, which came out 5 years ago, was a big New York Times bestseller. It's an indispensable book because it forces Americans to look at the realities of police work. The author is with us. Her name is Heather McDonald. You've heard her on this show many times before. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor of City Journal and a New York Times best-selling author. Heather, I'm glad to speak to you. How do we get to see that the public and the media that serve the public begin to present issues like this in a more complete perspective?
Because thank you for having me on, Michael. People like you have to just get the data out there. The public has been completely hoodwinked into believing that there's an epidemic of racially biased shootings of black men. The media refuses to acknowledge the reality of the astronomical levels of black-on-black crime. It is crime, not race, that drives police activity. The police are much more likely to be engaged with armed, violent, and resisting suspects that might lead them to use, to escalate their own use of force in black communities. Why? Because that's who's committing crime and that's who's being victimized. They've got to tell the truth about the fact that it turns out that the police are a greater threat to whites and Hispanics than they are to blacks. 10% of all white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by a cop versus 3% of black homicide victims who are killed by a cop. There were 15 so-called unarmed blacks who were fatally shot last year by a police officer. I say so-called because this is a category developed by the Washington Post in its database of police shootings. They categorize unarmed in the most generous way possible in order to try to get the numbers up. So if you're beating an officer, you're struggling to grab an officer's gun in order to shoot him, you count as unarmed. If you're fleeing a cop with a loaded semi-automatic pistol in the seat next to you, you count in the Washington Post as a passive, pacific, unarmed black male. That those 15, compare them to what is likely going to be probably close to 9,000 blacks who were killed by other blacks last year in these insane drive-by shootings. You know, that's less than 1%. It's 0.1 or 0.5% of all blacks who die of homicide are unarmed and killed by a cop. We also have to call out the media on their absolute blindness to any officer use of force against a white male. Nobody in this country knows about Tony Timpa. This was a white guy who died at police hands in 2016 in Dallas under circumstances that completely adumbrated the George Floyd incident. He called the police saying, I'm schizophrenic, I'm off my medication, I need help. The police showed up. He'd already been put in handcuffs by a store owner. He was on the ground in handcuffs with the officers holding him down. 30 times he said, I can't breathe, I'm dying. He died. They were meanwhile joking about his mental state while holding him down. When they finally loaded him onto an ambulance, one of them said, gee, I hope he's not dead already. Nobody knows Tony Timpa's name because he doesn't fit the narrative.
Again, I think part of what you're talking about is inarguably true. Is the numbers actually do show that, and tell me if this is still correct, that first of all, the 15 number that you just gave, is that the total number of unarmed black suspects who died at police hands or black citizens who died at police hands in the last year?
In 2020. Right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Not great, I mean, it's terrible, but how many people who are not black, who would be identified as white or any other ethnicity, died at in confrontations with police, do you know?
In the unarmed category, it was 21 whites. Overall, 1,000 people, this has been remarkably consistent since 2015 when the Washington Post started its database, 1,000 people a year are fatally shot by a police officer. Over 50% of those 1,000 victims are white. Blacks are about 25% of the victims of fatal police shooting. The vast majority of all those, both white and black, are armed, violent, resisting. Here's how you avoid getting shot by the police. Do not resist arrest. End of story. That's all you need to do. The number of people who are not resisting arrest, it has happened. It's been tragic. But it's one hand can count them. But the 25% black number is higher than the black population, which is 12%. But when you account for violent crime rates, that disparity goes away completely and ends up in the other ledger, that whites are actually shot more than their violent crime rate would predict. Blacks are shot less than their violent crime rate would predict.
And when you talk about a violent crime rate, the overwhelming majority of white victims are killed by white people, and the overwhelming majority of black victims are killed by black people, or putting it the other way. If you're recording murder perpetrators who are people of color, the chances are it is within whatever population group you're measuring. Let me ask you this.
Yes and no. Yes and no. That's true, but there is still a vast disparity in interracial violence. Blacks are much, much more likely to kill whites than whites to kill blacks. If you look at the entire universe of black-on-white and white-on-black interracial violence, blacks commit 88% of all interracial violence between blacks and whites. Whites, 12%. So, you know, that blacks are under lethal threat from white supremacy is a complete lie. If a black guy is walking down the street and he sees five white youth walking towards him, he really doesn't have much grounds for fear. But given what the family breakdown is in the inner city and what the crime rate is among these young black males with no fathers who've not been socialized, if you're a white person walking down the street and you see five black males, it is not irrational to be a bit concerned. That doesn't mean that every black person is a criminal, by no means. There are thousands of law-abiding, black residents who just deserve freedom from fear, who are trying to get on with their lives, make the best of their opportunities. But the crime disparities in this country are massive, and nobody wants to talk about them.
Okay, you do. And by the way, it's not just thousands. It's the overwhelming majority. Americans, black and white and everything else, want to be safe from criminals who are in a different situation. Heather McDonald's information posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, including some of her most recent comments. We'll be right back on The Medved Show.
This is The Michael Medved Show. For complete show archives, go to michaelmedved.com and consider becoming a Medhead. Use the promo code SPRING40 for some special discounts. When you become a premium subscriber, you get access to hundreds of Michael's commentaries, movie reviews, exclusive podcasts, and of course our commercial-free radio show going back years and years. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner today.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to The Michael Medved Show and tuning in today as we run some best of material. We talk a lot here on the show about becoming a Medhead. That's our premium subscription at michaelmedved.com. Use the promo code SPRING40 to get a special discount on membership right now. One of the features you get when you become an exclusive member is our In Light of History podcast. And we wanted to give you a little taste of one of those episodes right now so you can see what you're missing if you're not already a subscriber. And if you are, be sure to check out more of our episodes. We've got dozens and dozens of specific shows just for our exclusive members. Again, it's at michaelmedved.com. So enjoy this sneak peek at one of our In Light of History episodes. This one about Reagan and taxes and what it means for today's politics. Enjoy.
And now, in the light of history.
We've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important.
A look into the past for insight on the present, providing context for our current controversies.
We weren't just marking time. We made a difference.
Here's Michael.
Right now in Washington, D.C., no matter what time you may be listening to this, the chances are Republicans and Democrats are fighting about taxes. And the problem is they're not fighting about the right issue, and they're not fighting in the right way. Everybody knows that President Biden wants to raise taxes. The Republicans don't. Republicans lowered taxes during the Trump era. The Democrats were opposed to that almost unanimously. So what's an example of a tax reform that can actually unite people, bring them together? The best example, the Tax Reform Act of 1986 under President Ronald Wilson Reagan. It is generally considered to be by historians the most successful tax reform ever. It certainly got an unbelievable level of congressional support when the House passed the Tax Reform Act. In 1985, it passed by voice vote with virtually no opposition. And then it passed the Senate the next year in June of 1986. It passed in a squeaker vote, not, of 97-3. So what was the secret for President Reagan and for his partners in this enterprise? His partners were a bunch of Democrats. They included the Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, and the Chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Dan Rostenkowski, and considered Dick Gephardt in the House. And they also included very prominently Bill Bradley, former basketball star, senator from New Jersey. What brought these folks together? The idea is very simple. It was more than tax reform. It was more than tax cutting or tax raising. It was tax simplification. the idea that we can cut taxes pretty much for everybody, provide all sorts of benefits, and the top tax rate in income was dropped by President Reagan from 50% to 28%. Now, think about that for a moment. That means if you're earning, say, $200,000 a year, which would have definitely put you in the top bracket in those days, if you're earning $200,000 a year and doing very well, you're saving $44,000 in taxes. That's huge. And at the same time, there were 6 million people who were dropped off the tax rolls altogether, because one of the things that they did is they took 15 different brackets that existed before the law and reduced it to just 4. And part of the whole idea was getting rid of loopholes and special provisions and special deductions. One of the things that the tax reform did that is considered a tremendous success was they allowed the home mortgage interest deduction to continue. But other deductions that you would pay for having taken loans on other consumer items were no longer deductible. And part of what happened with this was it was also pushed very heavily by a new organization called Americans for Tax Reform, organized by my friend Grover Norquist. What was amazing about this was they began by agreeing that it was going to be intended to be revenue neutral. And the whole idea was to save the American people time. And by saving them time, you're also saving them money, simplifying the tax structure. One of the things that it did is it strengthened the alternate minimum tax, which had been introduced back in 1978, to make sure that people with tricky accountants could not get away with paying nothing. In other words, you could choose, rather than going through the whole process of complicated deductions and exemptions and special provisions. The corporate tax rate, by the way, was reduced from 50 to 35%. Now, the result of all of this was terrific for the economy. And most people say, though the economists argue about it, that it wasn't revenue neutral. It probably was revenue positive because the economic growth associated with the Tax Reform Act was so positive. The difficulty, of course, for President Reagan was it was passed in the first part of 1986. He was using some of the tremendous energy he had generated from a landslide victory for re-election in 1984. He won 59% of the vote. Can you imagine? And in that 1984 race, he won one of the biggest landslides in American history. He carried every state except for the home state of his opponent, Minnesota. And it came within 4,000 votes. It was so close for having the only 50-state sweep since George Washington. And, of course, we just had 13 states then, not 50. Reagan used that popularity. He didn't want to just coast. He wanted to change things. And the kind of change that he talked about ought to inspire us, even though shortly after this tax reform passed, he got caught up in the Iran-Contra affair. And despite his enormous popularity and enormous achievements, there were loud voices in Congress calling for his impeachment. But that's a different story. The one story and motto of the whole story for us is to take a page from Reagan's book, which is always a good idea for Republicans, because what he focused on was the one thing that Americans can agree on, which is not arguing about the levels of paying more taxes or less taxes, but just simplifying the whole thing, a situation in which every American gains. Because if you talk about the literally billions and billions of hours people spend preparing taxes, then it's a terrific idea to go to that simplification mantra and theme. And this, for Republicans today who are trying to counteract Joe Biden's efforts to very sharply raise taxes for everybody, I think that one of the ways that they can talk against that is an alternative which is to potentially raise more revenue for the government, not by raising taxes on everybody or on anybody, but by simplifying taxes for everybody and stopping and cutting short some of the special advantages for various influential groups and groups of taxpayers that are currently part of the tax code. Let's hope for the best, because death and taxes, as Ben Franklin says, are immutable and unavoidable.
We hope you enjoyed that sneak peek at one of our In Light of History episodes. You can find dozens of these that are available just for our MedHead members at michaelmedved.com when you become a premium subscriber. Thanks so much for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. As the nation struggles with our legacy of racism and inequality, many well-intentioned Americans embrace lies about white privilege, the idea that people of European ancestry enjoy vast advantages based solely on their ongoing oppression of all people of color. But many measures of well-being contradict this simplistic theory. Most recent numbers show white life expectancy declining, while Asian American people can expect to live a full 8 years longer, and Latino children will live on average 4 years longer than whites. Suicide in America claims twice as many lives as murder, and white people have the highest suicide rates, almost double those of black people. The largest number of crime victims, welfare recipients, drug deaths, and most other measures of misery are white. This doesn't mean black families don't suffer from intolerable race-based inequalities that must be overcome, but it's no solution to focus on purported white privilege that actually doesn't exist. I'm Michael Medved.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.